Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
I'm Baylen Leonard, and this is Absolute Radio Country. And today, joined by a singer-songwriter who's been making country music for at least the last 5 years, already has over 125 million streams of her music. She's toured with Luke Bryan and Lanny, and she's been described as the future of country music. Alana Springsteen, welcome to Absolute Radio Country. So good to see you again.
What's up, y'all?
So this isn't your first time in the UK. You played C2C before.
That's right.
Last year, you were here for the long road, and recently you were all over C2C. You were co-hosting the main stage
at the O2 in London.
Played the Indigo for the after party.
Yes, which, I mean, by that point, people have been drinking since 11 a.m.
Right.
So they are really in the mood for it, and it's always crazy. How was it for you coming back this time? And also so different as well. Mm. Than the other times, because even though you played CTC before, that was in a different capacity. The Long Road, obviously, a very different vibe than CTC. So what's it all been like for you?
Man, it's been a whirlwind. We started in Berlin. We played a little songwriter round in this beautiful church, and we really brought the Bluebird Cafe, which is like a Nashville tradition, to Berlin. And it was a special night with Stephen Wilson Jr., Rita Wilson.
Isn't he great, Stephen Wilson Jr.?
Oh, my God. I've been a fan of the music for a while, but seeing it live is just like a different animal. I mean, just him and his acoustic feels like a full-blown like rock show. It's awesome. And then, yeah, we hauled over to London and got to spend 3 days here, which was like the most time I've spent here, I think, so far.
So the album 20-something, it's a big album. It's like 18 or 19 songs or something like that?
The nail on the head, 18 songs, yeah.
18 songs. It's interesting, I always find at the moment people are either releasing albums with like 35 songs on them or they're releasing another EP. But I love that because, or just putting out singles.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that because it kind of feels like there's no rules at the moment. You know, there used to be so many kind of like, oh, you've got to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that it doesn't seem to be the case anymore, because it's almost like the artists and fans are kind of taking back control in that way, because you can release your music in so many different ways and fans can find it in so many different ways. So you dug in with 18 songs because you had a lot to say.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with what you just said. It really is like the Wild West. And what I love about it is the songs have kind of determined the way I've released everything up until now. You know, it started with like two little EP projects called History Breaking Up Part 1, Part 2.
Yep.
And then, 20-something. I knew I wanted to release a record. I mean, that's my favorite way to digest music. I love when artists put out an album, something you can get lost in.
And listening from start to finish.
Yeah, exactly. Those have been my favorite things as a fan to enjoy. And when I wrote the title track, it really framed what I'd been writing for the past 2 years. And I knew I wanted to put out an album about the journey that I've been on in my 20s of just like making mistakes and getting to know myself and figuring things out. And sometimes every once in a while getting some things right. So we released it in those parts. It was 20-something messing it up, 20-something figuring it out, 20-something getting it right.
Oh yeah, because it was three parts as well.
That's
which is
right.
Great.
Yes. Yeah, and we dropped them throughout the year. And it also gave like 18 songs is a lot of songs. So I wanted people to just like be able to digest it in small pieces because it was a lot of music. So we released it that way. And I can honestly say that I am such a different person now than I was when I started releasing these songs. So I think like me and my community, my fans, we've kind of been on this journey together.
And releasing the music probably was super helpful. Releasing it, but also writing it, like going through it, kind of getting that stuff out there was probably part of the journey of becoming a different person or getting over stuff or dealing with stuff.
1,000%. And I think when I wrote 20-something, I kind of took a deep breath and I was like, okay, like, here we go. I know what this means. Like, I knew I had a lot to say and a lot of really, really deep, like, soul-bearing things to say. And so I just went there. Like, songs like Chameleon, Chameleon has been like a nickname that I've had my whole life. My mom started calling me when I was younger because I think she meant it in an endearing way. But for me, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I've been able to like shapeshift in my life to to please like whoever I'm around, whether it's like a friend group or whoever I'm dating at the time or even family. And I think that's so easy to do, especially when you're young and you're like, who am I? Like, I'm trying to figure myself out.
I think a lot of people do that. Even, you know, I don't think you have to be young to do that. I think there's a lot of times where you just want to fit in or feel accepted or, you know, code shift in some sort of way to find your people, even if they're maybe not really your people, you know, while you're just looking.
Yeah, that's so true. And that song kind of hurt a little bit to put out. I was like, I'm not necessarily proud of this, but I told myself I was going to go there. So this is me going there. And after I released that, like you said, like the healing that I felt through realizing I wasn't alone, like you said, a lot of people go through that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can feel like, oh, I'm so weird for being this way. Like, why am I like this?
Yeah, but that's one of the gifts of being an artist. And one of the things that we love about you is that you do put it all out there and you do kind of go... you might feel like you're the only one feeling this, but actually I'm feeling it too.
Dude, so true.
And you know, not a lot of people have that platform to do that. So I think it's really important for people to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel responsibility too to like say something that matters. You know, not just put out a song that's fun. We need those every once in a while, but I also...
Oh yeah, we like a fun song. Sure.
Like, I want to say something that people need to hear that I need to hear.
Yeah, of course.
Another one of those songs that went deep was like When We Were Friends. And that was something I was going through in real time and still am kind of going through and figuring out, like the loss of friendships, like kind of drifting away from people.
Yeah, because a lot of people talk about like romantic relationships breaking down. But the breakdown of a friendship can be sometimes more devastating.
That's right.
You know, because you will most likely you will have been with that person longer than you will have been with like a romantic partner.
You're
know,
so
they will
right.
have been there for decades sometimes.
You're so right. And I don't know about, you know, anybody else, but like I felt really guilty in that too. It was like I did something wrong. Like what's wrong with me that I'm changing in a way that's making us like drift apart? But sometimes like people are meant to be in your life for a season, and that doesn't make it any less like meaningful and beautiful. But you've got to create that space for you to change. Like if you truly are growing into a better version of yourself, it's okay to like let people go on their path and you go on yours.
Yeah, I agree.
That was something that was hard to write about too. And I think I've found some peace with it just in releasing that song. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for releasing that song.
Because
it's not something that is talked about a lot. You know, it's something everybody goes through.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not something that you see reflected in art a lot. You have also worked with some like really big people in the course of your career, right? Like Chris Stapleton.
Wait, who's he? I don't know who that is.
He's got like a really shaggy beard and wears a cowboy hat a lot.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen him. I'm just kidding. Dude, that was probably one of the milestones of my career so far. Like
goes to my guitar that we're talking about.
Yeah, man, I've been a fan of his for the longest time. And when we wrote this song, we kind of wrote it as a duet between me and a guitar instead of a vocal. Because the guitar does like, it takes the place of like my ex in that song. The song is about like not being able to let go of somebody. Like you think you've moved on, but every once in a while they're just still hanging around. It's like you can't get rid of them. And I find that in writing too. Like sometimes I'll be like, okay, written this out of my system. We can move on. We're in a different place. And then I get in the room and I'm like, well,
here we are again.
Nothing has changed. And that's how I felt writing this song. And I wanted whoever played that guitar to be able to embody that feeling, to like really emote with their guitar. And my wheels were spinning. We were all thinking about who the right person would be to play on this. And I played Crash My Playa, which is Luke Bryan's crazy festival.
Down in Mexico, right?
Yeah, at the top of last year. Have you ever been to that?
I have never been to that, and I'm so furious that I've never been to that.
Baylin, you would be the mayor of Crash My Playa.
I so want to go. Everybody talks. Yeah, I've never been.
Well, you need to.
We're going to correct that.
We will have some tequila and Crash My Playa.
Yes, because everybody just stays like, everybody's like hot house together, right?
Yes.
So it becomes like this kind of epic.
Yeah, nobody's judging anybody. We're just like all in it together.
Yes.
It's great. But that night, like the day I played, Chris Stapleton was headlining. And I was like, I can't wait for this. I'd never seen him live before. So I'm just like watching side stage. And he picked up the guitar and started playing. And I snapped my head up. I was like, that is the exact tone that I've been like picturing for this song. It would be perfect. And you know, everybody, like, his voice is incredible. So everybody thinks of him as a vocalist, but I think people forget what an incredible musician he is too. And he can do the same thing with that electric guitar that he can do with his voice.
Yeah.
And that's what this song needed. So
and effortless.
But yeah, like after that, there was no plan B in my mind. I was like, we've got to find a way to at least see if he like would be down or let him hear it, like shoot our shot, right?
Yeah.
So my team got it to him, and I feel like it was a couple months passed by, and my phone was blowing up one morning, like everybody on my team calling me, and they're like, Alana, like, be by your phone today. If you get a call from a random number, it's probably Chris. Like, he decided he's going to the studio today and wants to cut guitars on this song. And I lost my mind, like, freaked out. And
when you're waiting for a phone call like that, do you, like, do your hair? Put on some, you know, like whenever I have
nothing.
Like an important, I think like during COVID, right? Like if there was an important Zoom or something like that, or even a phone call, there's something about like, oh, I need to get ready.
Right. Like you've never looked better from like waist up ever.
Exactly.
Sweatpants on the bottom. No, yeah. I'll never forget
nice
that.
Fragrance, even though they can't smell it. You know.
I feel you. Dude, I did nothing that day. I was like glued to my phone, made sure it was charged, like all the things.
Yes.
But no, seriously, like he brought the life this song needed. And I'm just so grateful for artists like him. And it's, I feel like it's such a thing in country music. Like you see these incredible artists, like just lifting each other up and taking chances. And, you know, I'm
and
not
collaborations.
A, yeah.
You know, it just seems like such a part of the country music world.
I'm just grateful that he, you know, for him, it wasn't about whether I had won Grammys or like was another incredible artist on his level. Like he just loved the song and was willing to be a part of it for that reason. So
congratulations on everything that's happening. It's so exciting. And every time you come back, there's like more milestones and more people knowing who you are and discovering your music. And it just seems like we love you over here. So will you please keep coming back?
The feeling is mutual.
Good.
It will never be long until I'm back. Honestly, I'm addicted to just y'all's energy here and the way you appreciate and experience music. It's inspiring for me. So,
and what's next? I know you're coming back to the UK at some point because you promised to already.
Uh-huh.
But are you working on, what are you working on?
What a big question.
I know.
There's so many things
asking
in the works right now.
That's
I wish I could
for.
Give more details, but
okay. So that sounds
actually,
like there's exciting things on the
oh,
way.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like we're actually flying to LA after this.
Okay.
To start working on music.
Uh-huh.
I've been writing a ton top of this year, like from January till now, basically. I've been locking myself up in the studio and in the writing room because last year was so insane. Like, I think it's the least I've ever written in my life just because we were touring so much and so busy. And God, it feels so good to just be back in that creative zone. And I think the break was nice. You know, I was fully able to experience 20-something in that season and just like be with the fans in it and kind of give myself a chance to live some life. You know, so I think you're gonna meet a little bit of a different side of me with this album. And I'm really excited.
Let's watch.
You know,
we
talked about like a lot of that work and just getting to know myself really through that album. And when you do that, when you go through that journey, you come out on the other side like a more confident, powerful, like comfortable in your own skin version of yourself.
Yep.
And I think that is the side that's coming out. I'm calling it my villain era, so.
Oh, okay.
Balin's here for my villain era, yo.
I'm here for it. Thank you. I cannot wait to see you when you're back. Thank you for taking the time to have a chat with us. Go enjoy some Indian food. Go to a pub and we'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.